Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
What I thought would be really cool is because I know there'll be some people who go, who is this dude? Did he get saved yesterday? No. So I thought it'd be cool to just give you a couple of wee fun facts about myself. Number one, I'm married to a supermodel. Her name is Breezy. We have four amazing kids in Christchurch, New Zealand. I'm really looking forward to getting home tomorrow night and seeing them. It's going to be awesome. Fact, here's another interest. This is kind of one of my most embarrassing moments preaching. So I was preaching and at this church for a weekend, and we'd done a lot. And on the Sunday night, I was a little bit tired, and worshiping, and I just knelt down, and I just kind of felt the Lord say, why don't you lie down? And I thought, yes, that's a good idea. And I lay down, and the worship had stopped. They'd done the notices, and I was still on my face snoring. They had to wake me up. It was so embarrassing. Like, seriously. And I pretended I wasn't. I thought, cool, but they actually all heard me snoring. So that was pretty embarrassing. Now, this one here, this is a little bit cooler. I actually asked my pastor, because, you know, if pride can kick an angel out of heaven, what on earth could pride do in the heart of a broken Christian? So I rang my pastor and I said, Pastor Wes, can I share this tonight? Because it is pretty cool. And he said, yeah. He said, you've got a good heart. You can share it. Go for it. He said, be proud of it, actually. He said, own it. And I said, okay, cool. Do you know that today I still hold the record, this is going to blow your mind, at St. Bede's College for my accountancy exam? Don't judge a book by its cover. See, I love numbers. I bet you didn't think I looked like the accountancy type, did you? I still hold that record today. I got 98%. Yep. That's 98% wrong. That's 11% right. So number three, Kiwis are known for their breakdancing. Did you know that? Do we have any Kiwis in here? Oh yeah, bro. We can breakdance, eh, bro? Yeah. No, say you, yeah. Well, I can anyway. So I said to Breezy, "Hey, would you hold the phone? Because I want to show my friends in Melbourne how good a breakdancer I am." So she shot this. It only goes for 45 seconds, but I think, you know, if we could dim the lights, and don't be shy with the bass. Let's get this happening, okay? And I think you really like this.
The nominees are
crank it up.
Best hip hop performance.
Awesome. Where's Bailey?
Oh, he's
counting. Yeah, that'd be good if you get him. Yeah. Well, and while we're waiting for Bailey, Troy, how are you, man? I'm not going to embarrass you, bro. Hey, bro, how are you?
Good.
Hey, let's... So come around here. Yesterday, Bailey street preached. It was seriously so beautiful, man. And tomorrow, a year tomorrow, he gave his heart to the Lord on this altar and hugged his mum for the first time in 7 years. and yesterday he was out preaching boldly on the streets. Bro, it's so awesome. I want to give you that because it's fearless. You're fearless, man. And here's a...
I'm going to hand these out to someone.
Go and do it. Yeah, go and give them. Come and give them there. If you want it, come and get it. They are definitely not in demand. Okay. Well, I've got about 20 pub to the pulpit books on the table. It looks like I'll be taking them home. Buy them on the way out. They'd be good. Thank you very much. So, Troy. Well, I was in Troy's tattoo shop on Friday, and just the way that you are so unashamed of the gospel is so beautiful, bro. And actually, when you were tattooing me, and if you're in here and you're religious, you're really going to struggle with this whole conversation. Or as a matter of fact, you're going to struggle with me, full stop, to be fair. But as you were tattooing me, I just looked at that picture on the wall with the lady with the devil horns, and she was smoking. And as I looked at it and just saw the light that you were in the shop, I saw a picture, and it was actually as you were working on me. And the picture that I saw was, you're walking like this, and you're walking into the things of God. And it was almost like the devil had like a dog lead. And he was just so trying to hold you back because he knows the weapon that you are. He knows that he's called you to be a weapon and to be a mouthpiece. Again, yesterday, first time street preaching. So beautiful. But hang on. This is the amazing bit. The devil holding him, that's not the amazing bit. This is the amazing bit. The amazing bit was, as Jesus walked into the temple and he flipped the tables, he went in there and he was tough. He was cool. He didn't walk in there with a little lamb on his shoulder. Hey guys, this is not cool. Nah, he went in there hot, man, and he tipped those tables up, and I just saw that same fire and zeal in you. And then I saw it swapped around, and Jesus gave you the handle of the like the lead, and he was taking you, and the momentum was so much faster as he was taking you step by step by step. And I just saw you going into places that you thought you would never go into. That doesn't mean gang places. I saw you in schools and even like schools and even like rocking up to skate parks and places like that and just walking in and saying, guys, I just got to tell you some good news right now. God's got you, man. Run hard. Run hard with all you've got. So, when I was sharing this morning, I was saying that, when I look at my calendar, sometimes I get a bit of anxiety, because it's a lot of time away from home, and it is full on, and that's okay. I'm not having a whinge. It's amazing, but it's a lot. And when I saw on my calendar tonight, my heart would always do these wee excitement things. So I believe tonight God's going to rock your world. I believe every single person in here tonight, you're here under divine appointment. You were supposed to be here. You see, there's people in the room, and you've actually been hurt by Christians. Tonight, God wants to heal that heart. You know, sometimes Christians don't act like Christians. It is what it is. We're just people, man. Sometimes we get it wrong. But tonight, on this altar, God's going to come. And the Bible says that he doesn't actually fix the heart. He gives us a brand new one. Some brand new hearts here tonight. So my message is all about the heart. And it's all about the heart from a journey that I've been through. So it's not something that I've plucked off social media or YouTube. Wouldn't it be horrible if our main source of Bible or word would be YouTube? Wouldn't that be horrible? Listening to other people's messages instead of opening the word ourselves. This is so precious because we don't want to be someone else's echo. We don't want to grab someone else's revelation and try and fit it in here. It won't fit. Because God wants to speak to us through His Word. People say to me all the time, how do you hear from God? Well, I read the Word. Word of God. Not being mean, it's just hello. Get a Bible if you don't have one. I don't love the apps. This is just me. Apps, they are what they are. But this here, I've never had a notification on it. Never been distracted. So I want to talk about the heart. I want to get real with you. This is a message for everyone in the room, but tonight I'm really talking to Christians. Do you know gossip's not okay? Do you know gossip is actually worship to Satan? Do you know that the pulling down thing, it's not okay. Where's your heart at? When you're in a conversation, are you one to say, stop, we're not going to talk about that? Or are you one that's just going to put fuel on that fire? A couple of weeks ago, I took my kids, my two little kids, to the swimming pool. And so they jump in, and I thought, I'll just, mate, there was 46 people in the pool, I counted. I thought, far out, we'll wait for 20 to leave, then I'll get in. And so I'm sitting there just watching the kids. Benji's, he's nearly 7, and Nevaeh's 8. And so they're playing in the pool, and they jump in the lazy river. And they're playing in this lazy river, and there's a lot of people. And I look, and I see these two grown-up people, like my age, in the lazy river. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm thinking, what the heck are they doing? Hello, it's for kids. And then I saw kids bumping into them, to these adults. I'm going, man. So I'm just sitting there, I'm just going, surely the lifeguard's going to do something soon. And then after about 5 minutes, I thought, well, if they don't, I will. Because my kids started bumping into these grown-ups, these two men. So I thought, okay, here we go. We're going to go and say, hey, mate, there's adult pools over there. Hello. It's for children. That's why there's children in here. So as I start walking over, one of them got out of the pool. And I thought, oh, cool, he's out. So I just stand there and just wait a bit. As he walked over to the side of the pool, he came back with a crane to pull his friend out because his friend was paralyzed. His friend couldn't be in a normal pool. And I just went, oh, my goodness. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and he said, see, it's so easy to judge. It's so easy to judge when you don't know the brokenness. You don't know what's happening on the inside, but yet it seems so easy to judge. You don't know what people are carrying. This whole heart journey for me started at the beginning of COVID, far out, I'm in Melbourne. Man, it was heck. Me, you guys are champions. Far out. Mate, we were praying for you on the other side, man. Mate, we got locked down for 3 weeks and we thought it was tough. So in our first lockdown, I was in my studio and I was just kneeling down, just spending time with Jesus. And I say I was kneeling down just to kind of paint a picture. That's actually not that normal for me to kneel in my office, but I was. And God, he started showing me these pictures of this event that I spoke at. And it was a really big event in Auckland. And there was 1,800 people in the room. And he showed me these pictures and I'm kneeling. He just goes, oh, wow. Yeah, that was so amazing that night. That was the best night in global gospel history. That was the night that I look back and go, ah, yes, amazing. I have got the best photos from that night. The best. Me standing, preaching, and all these people. It's so amazing. So we were having this moment. And then it was interesting because I heard Holy Ghost, because He speaks. It's not a gift to hear God's voice. He'd be a pretty average father if he didn't speak. he speaks. And I heard him say, remember they told you don't get off the stage? And a lot of the photos, because they were filming, and a lot of the photos I was off of the stage. See, submission's only submission if you're going to submit. And then they said, we've got these timers, time sheets. So every 5 minutes, the guy on the front row, he puts up a countdown from 35 with these big plastic signs. And they said, don't go over your time. But you see, so many people were getting saved that night, like hundreds, that I went 18 minutes over. And I was thinking in the offices, I'm kneeling down, I was thinking, Lord, come on, man. Like, seriously, we filled heaven that night. It was amazing. And I heard him so clearly say, it would have been way better if you'd done that with me. The best thing I'd done in 29 years for Jesus. And it was all about me. It was all about the heart. It was all about people liking me. It was all about me being the wild tattooed guy. It was all wrapped up in pride. It was horrible. It was so embarrassing. Like, seriously, you've got no idea how embarrassing that was. Because he said, you need to fix it. Lord, I'm so sorry. No, fix it. Lord, I'm really sorry. No, ring the pastors and apologize. That was so amazing for my heart. What have you been doing for the Lord that's actually trying to build you up and not worship to him? What's been going on in your world? See, this is a very sobering verse, and I think it's interesting that Jesus picked, it's in the Old Testament, but Jesus picks it up in the New Testament. It says, Isaiah 29, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You see, we can do all the right Christian things. We can play all the right Christian music. We can sing all the right Christian songs. We can know all the Bible verses. But where's your heart at? What's happening in your heart? Are you letting him in? Are you letting him in to deal with those areas of brokenness? Or are you just putting on these masks? The Sunday face, and everything's cool, man, sweet as. So as I went on this journey with heart, it shocked me what was in my own. Like, it's scary. And having people in my life that would actually line me up and confront me is so beautiful. Even though it's sometimes quite challenging, so beautiful. If you haven't got someone speaking into your life, you need to. Someone that you trust, not a Muppet. Someone that's got some runs on the board. Like, when I get home, my mentor, Pastor Brian, he'll ring me Wednesday, maybe Thursday. He'll say this. He knows I've been to Melbourne. He'll say, how you going, mate? Yeah, good. Have you mowed your lawn? That'll be the first thing. Have you mowed your lawn? Okay. And then he'll say, have you taken Brie out for a date, or when are you going to? He's not interested in this. He's interested in this. You need someone in your life. I remember I rang him one day because, well, to be fair, sometimes when he rings, I look at my phone and I go, am I emotionally stable enough to take this phone call? He can be so brutal, but it's so amazing. It's what we need. And I rang her this day because Breezy and I were having a wee argument. Well, she was having an argument with me, really. And so I rang her and I said, hey, bro, you're not going to believe it. Bree, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he said, wow, that must be quite hard for you. I said, hard? It's so hard, man. He goes, actually, I think it could be fixed quite easy. Awesome, Brian. Awesome. What does she need to do? He said, well, if you loved her more than you love yourself, you wouldn't be in this position. The truth is the truth. And since that conversation, there's been so many times in my marriage where stuff's gone down and I've gone, oh, hang on. Yes, that's reacting because I kind of love me right now more than her. You need someone in your life that will line you up. And the thing is, when you get into this and start reading this, this will line you up. This is not a book of fluff. This will line you up. This says very clearly, if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll be cast into the lake of fire. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Or do you just know a lot about Jesus? Andrew Cannon, he speaks here, but he's a very good friend of mine. We do these evangelism schools, and we did one in America last year. And we'll play the video. Will tell the story better than me. This is someone's heart that was so broken. And you watch this video. If we could dim the lights, that'd be great. Can I just have that water? Thanks, man.
Hey guys, Daz Chittle here. I'm in New Waverly, Texas, and I've got a powerful testimony of the power of prayer. So, up until 2 days ago, what was your life like?
It was lacking compassion. It was lacking mercy for other people. My husband's in a penitentiary.
So that's in New Zealand, that's in jail, in prison? Oh.
He's in prison. And my literal marriage was falling apart under my feet, out of my hands. I worked inside of a correction facility for most of my 20s. My heart was hardened towards people. It was just rough. Yes, I've been coming to Alive for about a year, and Bishop's been preaching the last few months, Bishop Jimmy, and he's been preaching and saying, receive the love of the Father, receive the love of the Father. And I was like, I can't. My heart is so hard and I can't. Inside of Ezekiel 36, there's a promise that he'll take your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh.
Wow.
And I began to pray that prayer that I didn't even tell my husband about, my mother, nobody knew but me and the Lord.
Wow.
He had had us pray for one another for healing, and then you had walked up to her and you were like, more Lord, more Lord, and I kind of backed away just out of reverence for the fact that I know that you were helping me at this conference, and then you turned to me and you were like, praying, and you were like, more Lord. And then you're like, I see how your heart has been trampled and kicked. And the funny thing about God is he does not heal your heart. He gives you a new one.
I remember saying that.
Yeah. And I hit my knees. I cried and I cried and I cried and prayed more and more over me. So Friday night, I was just so overwhelmed by love and compassion. My husband called me because But he called me and I told him what happened and he kind of actually laughed in my face.
From prison?
From prison. He called me in prison and I told him what was going on for me. And he actually kind of laughed in my face, like, and didn't care. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to pray that God gives you a new heart too. We went to sleep and Saturday morning he called me because he knew I was going to be here. And I said, I'm going to pray again that God gives you a new heart and I'm going to receive it for you. And I prayed for him. I leave Saturday. My husband called. He went to a service in the jail. And they taught about having a stony heart.
Oh, wow.
My husband was on his face at an altar in a jail.
Wow.
And God gave my husband a new heart. My husband and I talk differently to each other. There is a reconnection of love and unity in our marriage.
So I just need to get my head around this. So you respond to an altar call, complete stranger from the other side of the world at Harvest Now, evangelism school, lays his hand on you and goes, God's not going to heal your heart, he's giving you a brand new one. You thought that your heart was stone cold. That's the word you keep using, yeah. Stone cold. So she thought her heart was stone cold. God touches her, snot, tears, beautifulness. So then she tells her husband who's in prison. So then the husband goes to the prison church service. The guy out preaching is preaching about not having a stone cold heart. Hello, how amazing is God? And then he responds 2 days after you've responded, and God replaces his stone cold heart with a beautiful soft heart, which has brought your marriage back together.
Yes.
The power of prayer.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing.
Hey guys, it's Karen. It's been about 1 month since my new heart. And let me tell you, God's doing some cool things. I've been seeing him just move in ways that, like, I've never seen. I've had opportunities to minister in a bank for over an hour. I've gotten to just talk to different people and tell them my story about what Jesus is doing in my heart. My husband's in a ministry in the prison that he's in. And one of the biggest things that I'm super excited about is this coming month, inside at the end of the month, I start ministry school, because I just feel like God's calling me to do some things. And I'm so excited. I'm still blessed. I'm still thankful. And I'm just, like, forever going to be grateful. I love y'all. Like, Jesus is still answering prayers.
Isn't that awesome? One encounter. She had one encounter and it changed everything. One encounter. She had one Saul of Tarsus moment. Changes everything. 29 years ago, in your country, I went into the church to meet girls, and I met him. He changed my whole life. In one night, he changed my whole life. I thought it was a cult. I honestly thought I'd walk into a cult. Everyone wanted to hug me. It's like, seriously, what are you doing? But one night changed everything. And the prayers of a praying mum. Do you know, God used to wake Mum up at 2, 3 in the morning, and she'd kneel beside the bed praying for her son when I'd be drunk in a gutter somewhere in Christchurch City. And she believed that one day, the God that she met would invade her son. I'm here today. And I'm the fruit of a praying mum. So good. So mums, don't give up. Don't give up. You know, sometimes when I do the evangelism training thing, I talk about, well, instead of just talking at people, why don't you start praying for them, like at home by yourself? Why don't you turn the TV off? Like, serious, turn Netflix off. Get on your knees and pray. Don't just preach at them on Christmas Day. Pray for them throughout the year. And so in the evangelism trainings, we'd do that. I'd say, right, think of someone right now, and let's pray for them. And we would pray earnestly for them. The Lord Jesus would touch them in a powerful way, and I always prayed for my sister. Always. About a year ago, maybe just over a year ago, I get a phone call from my sister. She said, can you talk? And I said, yeah, what's up? She said, I've just been walking down the beach. And these were her exact words. She said, I've just surrendered my life to Jesus. No one witnessed her on the beach. She's just walking down the beach and God goes, bang. She is on fire. Woo-hoo! She is burning, man. That first love flame is so full on. Like, I'll be talking to her on the phone and she'll go, well, have you prayed about it? Why don't you just start worshipping? I'm a preacher, you know. I want to do this for a job. She's in every group in our church. She shares the gospel to everyone. The power of prayer. No one's that lost that they can't be found. No one. Rightio, here we go. Where's your heart at? Are you in here tonight and you need a new heart? You know, I was just thinking in the worship, for me and my life, sometimes it's so easy for me because of the cross and how beautiful he is. It's so easy to love Jesus. But sometimes I struggle to let him love me. Maybe we need to let him love us. Let him. Quite a few years ago, I got invited to CFAN, to the evangelism school. And it was such an honor to be able to go there. And, you know, all my heroes that you watch on TV and everything, the speakers there, and I was very excited. And I thought I'd properly learn how to be an evangelist. I thought this is going to be amazing. It's 1 week, it's in Florida, Reinhard Bonnke's school. And I was just keen to learn how to preach properly and hold the microphone. You know how the cool kids, they put their microphones on their chins? I wanted to do that. So I thought you'd learn all these practical things, and I was excited about, you know, learning all that stuff. And from day one, when I walked into that room, all I could do was cry. I couldn't do anything else. It was so embarrassing. People would say, "Oh, where are you from?" And I go, "I'm from New Zealand." Like, you could say they were thinking, though, you could see that they were thinking, "Oh, we've got a special one here." Just couldn't stop crying. See, the whole time I was there, listening to all these phenomenal men and women of God, Holy Ghost just kept saying, "You are my son. You are my son." Like I said this morning, my kids never try and be my kids. They don't. So stop trying to be Christians. Just stop it. Pressure off. This room's not full of blooming Christians. It's full of sons and daughters. He knows you by name. He's counted every hair on your head. So that was a week of identity. And then at the end of the week, on the Friday night, they put us all in a room. There's only 100 of us. And all the speakers come in and they prophesy over us and pray. It's wild, like next level wild. And I'm standing there and I'm just waiting for the speakers to come in. How often do we wait for a speaker or for another prophetic word? I've got a word for you today. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, read it. That's a prophetic word for you. Because so often we think the person up the front, they need to touch us. No, you need a kiss from heaven. You need a kiss from heaven, man. So I'm standing there and I'm in line, and standing there, and there's an American dude next to me, an evangelist dude, and he goes, "Hey, Daz, it's an honor to die next to you tonight, man." "Oh, you're good." I said, "What a strange thing to say." I said, "Yeah, good." And then I started thinking about what he said. And I realized that it's actually about dying to self. No longer I that live. Dead people don't gossip. Just saying. And I'm not a feely type Christian. I'm saying that this morning. I don't feel atmospheres. I wish I did. I imagine you would. Yeah, I don't. I just walk into places and, "Oh, did you feel that?" No. I've got friends that do, and it's awesome, but it's just not me. So as I'm standing there contemplating what this American dude said, I could physically, and this is not normal for me. This is very normal for God. He made a donkey talk. I could physically feel a rubbing on my chest. I could feel it. I didn't think it. I could feel it. I could feel this rubbing on my chest, and I just felt this warmth, this love. It was so beautiful. I couldn't give a rip what speaker was going to come in and put their hands on me. I couldn't care less. I was having an encounter with him. Wigglesworth could have walked in the room. Don't care. Actually, that would have been quite cool. But I was having an encounter, this beautiful encounter. I could feel. I could just feel him. Oh, it was so beautiful. I'm bawling. No speakers. And I just knelt down. And I just this love, this perfect supernatural love is just pouring over me. And I'm just bawling, like proper bawling, like snot bubbles, like embarrassing. The speakers hadn't even come in. And then I saw a lion's paw with some big claws, and it went across my chest. I saw it. I saw it, and it went boom like that, and it just ripped open. And I yelled out, and like, I'm actually incredibly introverted and quite socially awkward. So I truly I am. Like, I surf by myself when I'm at home. I often travel by myself. I'm okay in my own company. So evangelism's definitely not about extroverts, okay, because I'm not one. Very introverted. So, and I don't yell out. I'm not the sort of person that would yell out. Even in prayer meetings, I never normally say anything unless they make me. I don't. I just said it. But I started yelling out, ah! Which was not like me at all. And then I saw this paw as it went across. It went in and grabbed my heart and pulled my heart out of my chest. If you're religious, you're so going to struggle with the story. Mind you, you would have struggled right at the beginning, actually. And he said, "This is now mine." You see, that moment changed everything. I went over to America, and we were preaching on the planes, and we actually had a massive layover in LA, and I was with a friend of mine, an Aussie guy, and I said, we jumped in a cab, and I said, take us to the roughest street in LA. And the cabbie goes, why? And I said, because we're going to preach Jesus. So he drops into this roughest street. On the way home, the following day, I was flying home and I had my hoodie up. I had sunnies on in the plane. And I was still, just the whole flight, just crying. The flight attendants would come and go, sir, are you okay? Are you sure you're okay? I go, no, pull my heart out. And you knew they were going, cuckoo. 14B, beware. But you see, it wasn't until I was home for a few days that I went down to our local beach to check the surf. And the number plate on my truck back then was Preacher. And as I go and check the surf, there's a group of surfers and they see the number plate and they start mocking me. So I got out of the car and I walked up to them. I said, hey man, what's the deal? What's going on? Oh, you're a Christian, are you? And I said, yep, yeah, I am. Oh, why are you a Christian? And so that, as I started mocking, and I'm standing there and I just started thinking, this might not go so well. Because I leaned in and grabbed one of their ears. One of the guy's head, grabbed his ears. Both hands on his ears. Had no idea why. I thought for sure he'll headbutt me or punch me or something. As I grabbed his ears, he burst into tears. In front of his friends. He's bawling and I'm hugging him. I don't know what's going on. I go, bro, it's Jesus. You see, he had a praying mum. He got born again that day in front of his friends on the beach. You see, but that was the overflow of the encounter that I had 3 days earlier. He's not just a name in an ancient book. So then a wee bit later, maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, not sure, I went to Hamilton and I spoke at a youth conference and I was preaching on the last night and this young girl came up to me with her youth pastor and the youth pastor said, oh, this is such and such, she's drawn you a picture. I said, oh, that's nice, what's the picture? And the young teenager, oh, you won't like it. Oh, no, show me, go on, that'd be cool. Oh, no, yeah, I said, for goodness sake, just show me the picture. And I said, did God speak to you when you were drawing this picture? And she goes, yeah. I said, please show me the picture. And this is what she drew. She said, never forget, God has your heart. He can change your heart in a moment. In a moment. But you see, fear and pride will keep you in your seat. There's so many Christians that need a new heart. Tonight is your night. Tonight is your night. It's about now that you'll feel, oh,
yeah, I get a bit tired, but might head home soon.
What do you think that is? That's the father of lies whispering straight into your ear. Divorce it. Don't listen. Don't listen. Because it's going to get a little bit intense in a few minutes. And you've got the opportunity to respond, but you've got free will. Don't do it for me. The success of a minister's message is never how many people respond. How horrible would that be? And often, unfortunately, people think it is. It's not. Success in the kingdom is obedience. Full stop. My grandfather, I'm just going to end with this, was a God hater. See the band, if you guys make your way up, that'd be great. He was a proper God mocker. I remember sitting on his knee when I was 6 years old. He pushed me off his knee and he said, "You're thick, just like your father." And I believed that lie. This little six-year-old, I believed and I thought, well, I am thick. I'd get my school reports back and I'd be fail, fail, fail. And it just made sense. The reason that I'm failing is because I'm thick. Because he sowed a lie into me. What lies have you had sown into you? What have you said, spoken over you that's actually not true, but you've grabbed it and you've believed it? I hated him. So hated him. I remember like as a 10-year-old, the funnest day was when he came to, he's a builder, big strong man, about the same size as you, a big man. He came to fix something on our house and I went into his van and I took the keys, ran a couple of houses down the road and threw them in a garden. And then I watched him panicking for hours looking for his keys and I was in my bed, in my bedroom, just going, oh, gotcha, gotcha. I hated him. Even when I got saved, I loved everyone, man, except him. Except him. I was flying back in from the Brownsville Revival, Pensacola, Florida. And the plane was just about to land in Christchurch and I'd had 10 days of just getting born again, again and again every night. Running to the altar every night. So amazing. And the Holy Ghost said to me, go and see Pop. Man, I struggled with that. I hadn't seen him in 8 years. I was so scared of this man. I hated him. So I go to his house. I didn't even go home. I went straight from the airport to his house. I walked up his drive, and as I was walking up his drive, I was going, oh. Because last time I was there, 8 years before, I pulled every plant out of his garden. I thought, oh, he's planted new plants. I knock on the door and this little frail man opened the door because he was battling cancer. And I said, Pop, you're so sick. He goes, yeah. I said, can I come in? He goes, yeah. So I came in, sat down with him. I said, Pop, you're not looking good, man. I want to tell you about Jesus. He said, I don't want to hear about your religion. He said, if you're going to do that, you can go. I didn't know what to do, man. I just sat there and just tried to be nice. A couple of weeks later, I was speaking at a youth group in Christchurch, this little wee youth group, about 10 kids. And mum turned up, like 8 o'clock at night. I thought, why's mum turned up? She said, Pop's not doing well. You need to come and see him. So jumped in the car. Drove straight to his house. all the family were around the bed. Do you know tomorrow's not guaranteed? Hey, every single person in this room, one day you are going to die. So what you do with your little life actually does matter. And the family around the bed, and I asked them to leave. And I knelt down beside my pop's bed. You got to remember, this is the man that I hated. I hated him so much. And I knelt down beside his bed. I said, "Pop, Jesus loves you. He's got a plan for your life, man." His heart was so stone cold. 72 years a God mocker, staunch atheist. And I shared the gospel. I told him about the beautiful bloodstained cross. I said, "Pop, if you die without Jesus, you'll spend eternity in hell, separated, tormented, burning in hell." I said, "That is the reality." I said, "But Jesus died to take away your sin." I said, "Pop, do you want to give your whole life to Jesus right now?" And he could hardly speak. And I said, "If you do, Pop, I want you to grab my hands and squeeze them." And with both of his hands and my hands, as I prayed a sinner's prayer, a prayer of salvation, a prayer where he repented of his sins, he was squeezing my hands so tight, tears pouring down his cheeks. A couple of days later, he went to be with Jesus. But I'm here tonight to kneel next to your bed and tell you the most beautiful story that you'll ever hear. One of Jesus' friends handed him over for a bag of coins. They arrested him, tied him to a whipping pole, flogged him, spat in his face. It's not an Easter message. This is an everyday message. Put a sack over his head and they'll punch him in the face and they'll say, "If you're a prophet, tell us who just hit you." Pulling out his beard. Then they got these 9-inch nails and they slammed them through his hands. They chocked his feet together. They slammed another nail through his feet. Put a rope around the cross. They lifted that thing up. The Bible says, as he be lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. Just like Pastor Alex said, this is just so mind-blowing for me. 29 years in, my mind's still going. 12 o'clock lunchtime, it went dark. Hello, could you imagine that? 12 o'clock, it just automatically goes dark. Jesus died in the dark. Rose again. Appeared to a handful. Then the Bible says he appeared to over 500 at once. He appeared to me. And tonight, he wants to appear to you. This is what we're going to do. You know, we sing these lovely songs like, "I just want you." Really? What if we started living out the words that we sing? Like, serious, not even being mean. I just can't do songs that are all about us anymore. I can't do it. I'll just sit down. Just does my head in. If it's not about Jesus, I'm just not interested. I'm so over people worshiping worship songs instead of the King who hung on a cross. I'm so done with it, man. It breaks my heart. So we're going to sing the song and I'm going to open the altar. What does that mean? That's very Christian-y, I know, opening altars and that. What that means, if what I've said tonight has touched your heart, if what I've said tonight has made sense, if what I've said tonight has made you think, you know what? I want that Jesus that Daz is talking about. I want you to come and stand right here. That's what that means. And I know there'll be a battle. And I know there'll be whispering. There's those little foxes that spoil the vine. The Bible says he's the father of lies. Hello, we need to know that. He's a liar. I'll just sort it out when you get home. What if you don't get home? The guy hassling me on Facebook, I sent him a message, told him Jesus loves him, all the rest, a video. Sent him another one, got a whole heap of abuse back. So I sent him a second one, and this time I'm actually weeping, just saying, bro, he loves you so much, man. Got a whole heap of abuse back from him and his friends. It is what it is. But you see, that young fella, 16 years old, made a dumb decision. As humans, we make dumb decisions sometimes. His was, he forgot to put a seatbelt on. A couple of weeks after I sent those messages, bang, into a car, through the window screen, gone. He couldn't stand before Jesus and say, but Jesus, no one told me. Yes, they did. Remember that guy with the dreadlocks and the tats on his neck? He sent you two messages. Remember that lady in the mall that day that you mocked that was wearing that t-shirt, Jesus loves you? I sent her in there for you. Remember that guy at school that always invited you to church? I used to put you on his heart. You see, here's the deal. There's no excuse now because you've heard the truth. What are you going to do with Jesus? Because you may be thinking, why on earth is he holding a truck? It's not like a comfort thing. Got a lot of kids in my house, and this is my favorite toy in the whole house. You see, when my grandfather was so horrible, I just used to run to my room and grab this and play with this. And even though the window screen is broken, there's only two wheels, this is so precious to me, but yet it's so broken. For goodness sake, we've got to stop pretending that we got it all together and go to God and with these plastic masks and just trying to pretend we're all good when really we're actually broken and He can see it and He loves you in your brokenness. He loves you just the way you are right now. It's not clean it up and come to Him. It's come just as you are. That's why this is so precious. And that's why you're so precious to Him. Get Him, Jesus. Get Him, Jesus. This is it. Tonight is your night. You can kneel down or stand up. Don't let the devil rob you of this moment. This moment has been bubbling around in my spirit for weeks. Don't let the devil rob this moment of you for you. Let's go, man. Come right up the front. Right up the front, guys.
I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. Never want to leave.
If you're not moving up the front, I want you worshiping the King. It's not a game of footy, we're not watching. Six people right now. Six people. You're sitting down. God's been breathing on your heart. I saw the number six. Just divorce that fear. Be free. Just kneel down. Can we dim the lights? I want every single, if we can, yeah, turn off those lights, because I want every single person in the room looking at that slide. Every single person on the altar, I want you to look at that slide. Look at that picture, you see, because that is truth. That is what love looks like. I don't want you to echo a prayer from me tonight. The Bible says confess with your mouth, not words that I can help you with. It's your mouth, it's your heart. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that Father rose Son from the dead, you will be saved. So this time as Richard starts singing, I want you to confess with your mouth. I want you to say, Jesus, forgive me. But I want you to say it out loud. We've been too PC for too long, man. It's not the gospel. Ask Him to forgive you. Thank Him for the cross. Say to Him, Jesus, I want a brand new heart. Believe it. Say, Jesus, I want a brand new heart tonight. And believe it. And then once you've done that, I want you to stand up. And we're going to just worship King Jesus. And then the prayer team are going to come around and we're going to pray for you. But it's not about us praying for you. It's about the one, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Cry out to him there. Cry out to him there.